to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, it's Carol, co-host of The Divine Breadcrumb. This episode is brought to you by Carol L. Campos Coaching. Why coach with me when there are so many coaches out there? I do things differently. I don't jump right into your goal. Why? Well, what I've learned is that the subconscious mind is running 90% of the show. That's where we start. We clear any emotional blocks and limiting beliefs first, making sure you know your why and are aligned with where you're headed before tackling your goal. Whether you want to change careers or simply want more joy in your life, I can teach you strategies to help you gain the clarity needed to go where your heart is calling. To get started, I invite you to sign up for a free discovery session at carollcampos.com. Together, let's light your path. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb. I'm Carol.
This is Deb.
So most of you know that on the show, Deb and I love talking about manifestation, channeling, energy healing, and of course, divine breadcrumb moments. And then there are subjects that we love to talk about when we get together. We trade stories about our childhood and healing past wounds, or happier subjects like discussing our favorite movies. Well, today's guest is really a dream guest for us because she embodies all of these subjects. So today we are talking with author, actor, and healer Dee Wallace. Most of you know Dee best for her role as Elliot's mother in the 1982 Steven Spielberg blockbuster E.T. But aside from Dee's prolific acting career, she's also an amazing channeler and healer, teaching her clients about self-creation and taking responsibility for their own lives. In fact, her very first channeled message was, use the light within you, Dee, to heal yourself. Dee is the author of 5 books, including Bright Light and Conscious Creation, as well as the host of her weekly radio show, Conscious Creation. She also conducts private sessions as well as webinars covering a multitude of topics to help people in their own personal expansion. And on a personal note, as I mentioned, Deb and I are big movie buffs, and E.T. is in both our top 10 favorites. And what draws us to the story of keeping your heart light on, connection, love, and a sense of what is true is the same thing that drew us to Dee Wallace. She has a way of making people feel heard, safe, connected, and loved. And her joy and light are infectious. So with that, Dee, welcome to the show. We are honored and excited to have you here with us.
My gosh, what a beautiful intro. I hope I can live up to all that.
Well, you already have, way beyond.
Yes, no doubt.
Well, thanks, guys. You know, my whole quest in life, no matter what I do, is to be authentic. That's what my mommy and daddy and grandmas taught me when I was growing up, is be true to yourself and be authentic and speak your truth from love. And usually it doesn't get you into much trouble.
Exactly. Yes, it's a good way to live. So before we dive into your healing practice, of course, we have to ask you a question about E.T. I read in your book, Bright Light, that when you read the script, you knew that the film would do a lot of good for the world.
Yeah.
And now you've been a healer and channeler for over 20 years. So through the lens of the channeler and healer you are now, how do you view the allure of the movie and its impact? Do you or your channel have any new insights which might be different from what you thought 38 years ago?
What a great, great question. The answer would be no and yes.
Okay.
So it's not a new insight, but I have a far greater expanded understanding of why I was supposed to do that movie and why the movie still is changing the world. And it all comes back to love. You know, that's the root of all of my work is love creates and heals everything. We just don't believe something that soft and good and cuddly could actually create our lives and what we want, but that's the truth. And I was learning these things when I got cast as Mary, and I literally did call my agent and say, I don't think this is going to do much for me, but I think it's a movie that's going to change the world and I want to be a part of it. And I was right, wasn't I?
Yeah. You certainly were.
You know, even before we brought it to life, just reading the script, there's something about the story and the message that surpasses our brains and our minds and goes right to our heart, which holds all of the truth for us. And I mean, I have amazing stories, like a mother of an autistic child who she had never heard her son speak. He was 10 years old, never heard him speak a word. She took him to see the re-release of E.T., and on the way home, he started saying every line that E.T. said.
Oh,
now,
wow.
For me, that's miraculous. For that mother, that was miraculous. And I have so many stories of how that movie continues to heal people and just connect them with what the truth is and bring them back to love. If you look at the history of movies like that, we got a similar message in Peter Pan. Think
right.
Happy thoughts and you fly. We got a similar message in The Wizard of Oz. You had the power all along, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And yet, it's so simple, we still continue to think we have to struggle to create everything, and it's literally that struggle that keeps us from creating everything.
Exactly. Well, everyone I talk to who has seen the movie, it's a favorite. And it's funny because as I was doing research for this interview, I came across an interview of you on the Michael Douglas Show in 1982. And it was so funny to me because I think at that point he hadn't seen the movie, but he had just had dinner with Frank Sinatra's son. And Frank Sinatra Jr. said it was a great film. And it was just so
funny. Well, then that's all that
exactly.
matters, right?
Exactly. That's how I took it too. It just totally cracked me up. But it's just interesting how it's one of those films, it comes on and it doesn't matter what part in the film it's on, you're glued to the set.
Well, and it, you know, it really has become a part of our history, a part of our culture, just like The Wizard of Oz. I mean, you know, 40 years from now, they're still going to be playing both of them.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or all three of them, yeah. Along with Peter Pan. You know, I'm honored to be a part of that legacy.
Hmm. When Carol and I, when she first told me that she had contacted you and we were able to interview you, I had shared this story with her and at Universal Studios in Florida, of course. I don't know if it's still there, but there's an E.T. ride there.
Oh, yeah.
And as you're leaving the ride, there is an E.T. above the door that it's motion detection and it says something to you as you leave. So all of my friends were in front of me and they all got certain phrases. And as I stepped up and was about to walk out, I got the, I'll be right here. And I immediately burst into tears and was
not
sobbing.
Well, see, that's what I mean. And isn't that what we're all yearning for? Is to know that we're loved, to know that we're all one, to know that somebody's always got our back, that we can always depend on their heart to be there for us. Isn't that what we all want?
Yeah.
No matter how old we are, the little person inside us never, ever forgets being accepted and loved and warmly caressed and taken care of in their life.
Oh, yeah, beautifully put. Well, I can tell you, my 15-year-old self is just rejoicing right now.
Good for you. Good for you. Tell her hi.
So let's go back there for a little bit. If you would tell our listeners a little about your childhood and how what you experienced affected how you navigated the world in early adulthood, and how did these experiences shape your self-esteem?
Dear Lord, do you have 3 hours, woman? Well, okay. In a nutshell, I lived a life of dichotomy because my parents were both incredibly creative people. My mom was a secretary. My dad was a salesman when he could hold down a job. He was a severe alcoholic most of my life, which created poverty and uncertainty and constant vigilance in my early childhood. But they were also both amazingly creative people. My mom was a beautiful actress in community theater and directed all the religious plays at church. My actual first role was the baby Jesus. And so we were very poor, but I was sheltered from really knowing that fully until I was like in middle school. And I say that because it's really important. The truth is less important than what your perception of the truth was. And my perception was we were pretty okay. I mean, I knew we weren't rich, but even though we had to live with my grandmother, it didn't occur to me that we had to live with my grandmother because we didn't have enough money. It just was like, you know, the family wanted to be together, right?
Right.
And so I was raised in a religious household, a God-fearing household, but also a very loose household that told a lot of dirty jokes. My older brother worked his way through seminary shooting pictures for Playboy. Oh, that kind of sums up my family right there. I spend half my life doing horror films and the other half of my life helping people heal from fear. So I look back and knowing what I had to deal with and how I created my powerful authenticity in the face of all of it gave me a lot of training and insight into how to coach and direct other people to heal. And when my husband passed away, I dropped to my knees and I said to God, I don't want to be pissed off. I don't want to be a victim. I want a way we can heal our lives, all of us. And that's when I got that first message, use the light within you to heal yourself. Now I'm still understanding what that means. And the more I understand it and the more I apply it, the more I create what I want in every subject of my life. Mm. Did I answer your question?
Yes. And there's just a lot in there. I mean, you touched on the fact at the very beginning about the dichotomy of your household and then just that interesting dichotomy of your brother, seminary, taking pictures for Playboy, and then you with the horror films and healing people from fear. It's just like that dichotomy just sort of kept going in your life.
Well, yeah, and I think it's one of my strengths, to tell you the truth, because I really am the girl next door. When the channel asked me to really delve into this work, I said, look, I ain't giving up my wine. If people ask me if I like sex, the answer's yes. Do I say the F word? Probably more frequently than I would like to admit. And am I connected to God on every level? You bet.
That's great.
So there you go. Take it or leave it. They said, we'll take it. And the people that follow me, really, that's why they follow me, because I'm genuine. I'm authentic. I'm real. I love life. I like to party occasionally. And they can relate to that. You know, I'm not sitting on a mountaintop somewhere, and I'm not meditating 2 hours a day in order to connect. Anybody can connect, guys. Anybody. As a matter of fact, you already are connected. But if you deny that and don't ask for the experience of that, then you will not bring it into your reality. Like the good book says, ask and ye receive. But what most people don't understand is ask in the original Hebrew is claim or demand. This will be delivered to me. So the more we define ourselves and the more firm we are in what we want being delivered to us and connect that all with love, the more creation shows up in your life.
Yeah, and I love that. And that kind of led to my next question. You know, when we're talking about manifestation, you've said that whenever you judge anything connected to the creative process, the balance of energy gets thrown off and the flow stops. And this is a tough one for a lot of people because it's so easy to go into judgment mode. So I was wondering, do you have some tips, some ways we can step out of judgment?
Well, first of all, know that when you judge, you're hurting yourself. When you judge, you're not going to get what you want because you're making it about them. You're taking the finger and going, it's because of you that I can't. Whether it's something they did to you, something they're doing now, some way that they're treating you, you can't give your power away to anybody else, guys. And the more responsibility you take as being the God and creator of yourself, and let me explain that because so many people's hairs on their back just went up when I said that. Nobody can think a thought for you, right, girls?
Right.
Correct.
Nobody can feel a feeling for you, right?
Right.
Nobody can hold a perspective that you don't want for you, right?
Correct.
Okay. That means that we are literally the creative force that creates our own lives. And the more we take responsibility for that, the more our lives shift. I love this quote from Dana Wild, who is a brain expert that I work with. She said, you know, there's nothing wrong with your story, except that you keep telling it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the day I stopped blaming my dad and his alcoholism and his suicide for me being screwed up and not being able to move on was the day I gave myself my freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That makes so much sense.
You know, he did the best he could. What am I going to do with that now? Right?
Exactly. And it's so much more empowering once you kind of reframe it that way.
Well, it is your freedom. Your power of choice is your freedom. And nobody ever takes your choice away. Even now, when we're quarantined in our homes, we are filled with choices of how to react. So are we going to choose that we're a victim? Are we going to choose not to listen to the experts? Are we going to choose to get up every day and go, wow, this is a beautiful, incredible day. What do I want to create? You see, you're always at choice about where you take your focus. And wherever you take your focus is what you're going to create more of. If you're focused on, oh my God, how am I going to make any, there's no way I'm going to have enough money. There's no way I'm going to have enough money. You will continue to create that during this quarantine. And that's the hardest thing, I think, for people to get is that it's not the reality you want to look at. What your reality is right now is what you created months ago. So if you really want to be proactive and love yourself and do for yourself your highest good during this quarantine, take a lot of time and get yourself into alignment with what you want. And what does that mean? Love what you want. If you want more money, love money and know that you literally are the frequency of money within yourself. You want a great relationship? Don't look at all the past crummy relationships. Say, I am a respecting, honoring, loving, giving relationship. That's who I am. And then allow the universe to find that frequency and match it with you. You can do that with anything you want to create, guys. But if you're not creating it within you first, which is where everything starts, it's going to be a lot longer, or you're going to get a compromised version of what you wanted.
Absolutely.
So literally, if you think of yourselves, remember the old radios where we had to take the knob and tune it to the, line it up with the line to get the station we want?
Yes.
Well, that's what, you're the radio. And the universe is the song and the station you're looking for. So when you line yourself up with what you want, then you connect with the radio station of the universe and you receive back the song and the station you intended to hear.
We love it.
Yes. Yes, we love that analogy.
Well, it's pretty simple. If you can't get that one, I, you know, I'm lost.
So Carol mentioned your books in the intro. Tell us a little bit about the books, Bright Lights and Conscious Creation, and why you felt called to write them. What was your inspiration?
Well, my inspiration for Conscious Creation was my channel said, you have to write this book. And I went, I don't know a flipping how to write a book. And they said, yeah, sit down at the computer and we'll send you the people to help you. And they did.
Great.
It's all channeled information. Conscious Creation is all channeled information about the creation process. Oh, they just gave me a great idea to include that in a program I'm putting together.
Oh,
ooh, thank you for that. And Bright Light, I was compelled to share with people the struggles that I had gone through in my career, which took me to the great understanding I have today. And I wanted to combine both my worlds, because everybody goes, oh, E.T.'s mom, she's a famous actress, right? You know, she's got everything. Well, surprise! You know, I had a lot of testing to get where I am today and to realize that I better start creating myself because nobody else was gonna. And, you know, I talk about all the big directors I've worked with and all the big movies and stories from them. But along with that, the spiritual / brain science lessons that I learned from them that I actually paid attention to and addressed that began changing my life and turning it around.
It's such an interesting book. I mean, I love learning about the backstory. I think it was Lou Grant was one of your first big roles, and that was kind of pivotal.
Yeah.
Then that led to other things, which we call those divine breadcrumb moments. Like that led
to
the next and the next, you know? So that was really neat to learn about that. So for all the listeners, definitely I recommend both books highly. They're so interesting. And of course, talking about all the stuff we love to talk about. So you've done thousands of private sessions at this point. What can someone expect in one of your sessions, aside from being starstruck?
A lot of clarity. That's my best answer. My channels brilliance is to be able to reach into a person's energy and get the breadcrumbs, put the breadcrumbs together for people, literally. Go into the beliefs. I can even tell them where the belief came from and what age it took hold of them. And I can tell everybody it's usually between 0 and 5. Sometimes you pick it up in conception in the womb. Sometimes you bring it in from past lives. But it always ignites somewhere in this lifetime, and it's usually 0 through 5. I would invite everybody to go to YouTube and watch my TED Talk that I give, because it will be eye-opening for everybody to sort of kind of put together the messages and the truths, or the untruths, as most of them are, that we were given or taught or modeled when we were little kids, and how they're still running us today. So if you feel like you keep running into the same walls, that's why. Because your little girl or your little boy in you is going, no, 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 don't be too big. Don't make too much money. Don't be too successful. God won't like you. You know, your friends won't like you. All this stuff that we're taught when we're little, and it's just not true. Because as the good book says, as you believe, it will be delivered to you. So the belief always comes first, and then we build our lives on all these beliefs. Mm-hmm. If you want to get it another way, go watch The Matrix. Pick a door, any door. You can have that experience. If you don't like that experience, walk out the frickin' room and pick another door, right?
Yep.
So that's how.
Oh.
I remember the first time I heard not so much the Matrix analogy, but the idea that you have choice to pick your reality. And it was from Richard Bach's book, Illusions. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And,
oh, sure.
And Richard is talking to Donald Shimoda, and Donald Shimoda is trying to give him this idea that you pick your reality. And Richard is like, well, why would someone pick a horrible life? And Donald says to him, why do people go to horror movies? You know, it's the same thing. That's why, you know, people pick things for all different reasons.
Yeah, we pick it and we choose it. The important part to add, though, there is usually not consciously.
Right, exactly.
And that's why my book is called Conscious Creation, because we're creating every moment of the day, guys. We're just usually not doing it consciously. And I know from my channel that we absolutely pick the families that we're born into and the situations we're born into, so that we can finally learn the lessons that we have been trying to learn. And for example, why would I pick a family with an alcoholic father who ends up committing suicide?
Right.
I can tell you that it's all about honoring yourself. And I wanted to learn lessons this time about all of us and the importance of honoring ourselves, knowing our specialness, knowing that what we do or what we have has nothing to do with who we are, and that we have power over that creation 24/7.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, such an important message. And I think when people first start sort of hearing this, like really hearing it, it's surprising to them. And I think, you know, it takes people a while to grasp that. And it takes practice, I think.
Well, of course it takes practice, because right? Most of us have spent a life learning that life just happens to us.
Right.
And we don't have any control. And money's the root of all evil. Dear God, you know, I don't get that one, you know, especially when the Pope and the Vatican are the richest people in the world.
Right.
I don't get then why the church is still, unless, you know, well, it's, where does the money go to then? Where is it okay for us to send our money to? The governments and the churches. Not okay, guys.
Yeah.
Not okay. Now, do I tithe? You bet I tithe. Because the whole purpose of tithing is so that you know you have enough.
Yes.
Yes.
And that you get the joy out of giving. So I have a place where I like to connect spiritually. I tithe to them. But, you know, every time I'm on a set, I watch people on the set. I watch how much they give. I watch how much love they bring to the set. I watch all of that. And then I tithe to them when the show's over. Because they're living the truth of love that I teach.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
I tithe to a lot of animal rescue places because for me, my animals save me.
Yeah, me
they
too.
Take me to love when nothing else can.
Oh, we agree with that.
Always,
I have my two little fuzzy guys, and yeah, they do that for me too.
Yeah, so go to what makes your heart expand and where it empowers you, and tithe there. You have enough. Tithe there.
Yes. What a great message. I love that. Switching gears just a little, you have some amazing webinars listed on your website. Are there any in particular that you'd like to highlight, or do you have any new ones coming out?
Always. But the one I would send everybody to, especially the people that you draw, oh my gosh, you guys, if you want clarification on how to create, and I even did an on-camera video to go with it. It's Creating with All Energy. It may still be on the homepage of my website, which is iamdwallace.com. It's such a powerful webinar to really, really teach you how the creation process works, because most of us don't understand it. And it's simple, guys. It's really simple. But you have to understand the principles. So I would for sure go there and order that one. It's $50. If you cannot afford it, please email me at imdwallace.com. Email me d@imdwallace or info@imdwallace. But I do ask that you go into your own consciousness and go, okay, what can I afford? Because there has to be some kind of money. You see, is just another form of energy.
Right.
And so there always has to be an exchange of energy.
Yep.
Most people think giving and receiving are separate. They're not. They're a circle. Giving, receiving, giving, receiving, giving, receiving, giving, receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so there always has to be an exchange of energy so that circle continues to go unbroken. So, you know, everybody's on their own, dependent on their own truthfulness and their own consciousness. And if you can afford to pay the price I charge, then pay it. And if you can't, ask for what you need. Because, again, ask and ye receive. Right?
Right.
That's right. Okay.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, and we'll put all that in the show notes.
Yes.
So, Dee, before we wrap up, do you or does the channel have any messages for the listeners?
Let's see. This group, what are they? Hold on. They're taking me to my sheet. Yes. They would like everybody to state, which is a direction of your own energy, guys, that you are ready, willing, and able to accept that you are the creation of all creation.
Mm.
Invoking the symbol, the formula, the violet flame, the golden light, I am divine love. Now, what that means is how you create yourself affects your world, your world affects your neighbor's world, affects your country's world, affects the world, the earth's world, affects the universe. So how you create you is a part of how the universe is created. That's how important you are, and that's how important it is to live consciously.
Wow, what a note to end on. Powerful.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I'll say so. Well, Dee, thank you again for spending time with us. This has been a thrill. Again, my 15-year-old self is just dying.
Well, you tell her I love her. Let's get together and party sometime.
Yes. Thank you again so much for joining us. And everybody, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can catch the show on thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Dee, we're going to put all of your contact information into the show notes so that people can find you. I urge everyone to go take a look at the website. Look through some of these webinars. There's amazing, amazing topics there and lots to learn. And everybody, go watch ET this weekend. It'll make you happy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Dee.
Oh, it was so much fun, you guys, and such great questions. Let me tell you, after doing interviews for 45 years, I so love people that do their homework and come up with great questions. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right, girls. Create a great day.
You too. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.